chapter number 3. And verse number 12. And when you find that scripture, let's stand and we'll read the text together this morning. I've got one last point that I want to get to this morning, and I hope I don't drag out the message and bore you to death and wear you out until I get there. I think it's important. It's a wonderful verse and got a lot of great truth and meaning in it, I think, for the people of God. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you what God gave me on it. I hope it'll be a blessing. And let's begin reading with verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, unless there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter and do his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's bow our heads and hearts together and ask God to help call a solemn assembly this morning. And may the Holy Ghost of God open hearts and give understanding today as He's never done before. Our Father, I thank Thee this morning for the privilege of reading the Word of God. I thank Thee for the privilege to preach. And Lord, I don't want to handle the Word of God deceitfully by no means this morning. So I pray for divine direction from the Holy Spirit that inspired every word in this Bible. I pray that You'll help my heart. And Lord, that You'll grant precious liberty this morning. You said in Your Word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So that requires a divine presence of God. And so I invite You this morning into this place. May You speak to our hearts as dear children and to creatures, Lord, as benighted sinners, blinded by the devil. I pray that You'll get glory and honor to Yourself. And Lord, that You'll help us today in understanding Thy Word. Make it a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. Ring the joy bells down in our heart. Give us grace and glory in our soul. And I pray that You'll unction eyes and give power today to preach Your Word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. Now, as our text verse this morning, I want to call your attention to verse number 13, where Paul, writing here to these Jewish believers, makes the statement, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now, look right up here for just a minute. I want to give you the title thought that I'm preaching on today. I want to preach on the last mile of the way. That's not the end of the title, though. Will you make it? The last mile of the way, will you make it? God's given us an example here this morning of a people that came to the last mile of the way and didn't make it. And He is given us great exhortations here to persevere in our service toward God and in our fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Scripture before us this morning, church, deals with the perseverance of the saints. Amen. And I'm confident that for many people now, that this Scripture has presented great difficulties in their interpretation, especially in verses number 6 and number 14. If you look at verse number 6 in this chapter, Paul said there, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are." He throws in a question there. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. And then look at the next verse in 14. "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Now, this will pose a great problem for many Bible, or should I say many disciples of Christ, if they fail to rightly divide the Word of God and follow some basic Bible principles laid down in the Scriptures. And there are two, by the way, basic, great truths that run throughout the Word of God. And unless a man or a woman keeps those in mind, there's not a doubt that they will drift into apostasy and in the great error in the book. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what are they?" I'm glad you asked. They are, number one, the sovereignty of Almighty God. Now, I don't make any bones about believing that statement. We've got some Baptist brethren that if you mention the sovereignty of God, that they immediately want to label you as a hyper, quote-unquote, Calvinist in your Bible doctrine. Friend, it doesn't matter what they call me, or really, it doesn't bother me. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. But I do believe that God is a sovereign God. He takes counsel from nobody. If you can ever find me a scripture that will prove that He asked our permission before He ever done anything that He done, friend, I'd just about eat the Bible. He is a sovereign God. That simply means that God does what He wills, and God wills what He does. And He is working out all things according to the counsel of His own will for the good pleasure of Almighty God. Has it ever occurred to you that God created man and placed him in this planet Earth for His own pleasure? Amen. He put man here that God might enjoy man. I want to put in right there that God cannot enjoy man because He cannot fellowship with a man that is a sinner, lost in sin, without God and without hope. God's sovereign. He didn't ask anybody about creating the world. He asked nobody about His design for salvation. Buddy, we got some folks today that like to change God's plan for salvation. I mean, there's a fella down in Florida, and he had tried to convince people that God saved one way in the Old Testament. He saves another way during the life of Christ. He saves another way during the book of Acts. Another way in the epistles. Another way during the tribulation period. Another way during the 1,000-year reign. I want to say to you on the authority of the Bible that God has had one way of delivering sinners, and it is by grace, through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I feel like preaching a little bit, maybe. Hallelujah to God. I like getting on salvation. I like talking about the gospel. Brethren, it's still the power of God unto salvation. Amen. I tell you what, I think some folks got the idea that the gospel was a second thought or an afterthought in the mind of God. That when Adam fell, God sat down and scratched his head and began to wonder what he was going to do. Oh, no. Let it be far, far from you. Before God ever created man, it was predetermined in the foreknowledge of God that as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that the Lord Jesus should come into the world, bear our sins, become our substitute, and be our sin bearer on Calvary, that He might redeem fallen man from the curse of sin and win unto Himself a peculiar people who are zealous of good work. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. I know that's right.
Yes, sir.
But that other truth is the responsibility of man. Man is a responsible creature to God. Therefore, man will stand before God without excuse. Somebody said, I won't go to hell because I didn't know any better. You'll stand without excuse. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Oh, that's right. For the very thing from the creation of the world, even the invisible things of God, prove His eternal power and His Godhead. Amen. This crowd that believes in evolution, their mommies and daddies might have swung from their tail from a tree if they want to. And son, my daddy didn't have no tail to swing from. Amen. Well, my ancestors come from a tadpole. That's right. That's what they think. That's what they're teaching your kids down there in the public school. That's right, that our ancestors come from a tadpole. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes.
Wallowed around in the mud, sprouted two legs, crawled out on the ground, become a frog. Amen. Began to play in the woods, grew a tail, climbed up a tree, swung off a limb from his tail, broke his tail, fell off on the ground with both feet. God, hallelujah to God, I'm a professor at last. That's what some of them think. That's what some of them think. That's right. But the responsibility, I'm going to have to hurry, I ain't going to get there. The responsibility of man, I'm telling you, man is responsible to God. God put Adam in the midst of the garden, and Adam became a responsible human creature when he said, Adam, of all the fruit of the trees in the garden you can have, but of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, let them alone, because in the house that you eat it, you shall die. That old serpent came to Eve and said, hey, go ahead and eat that thing. You know you're not really going to die, but I'm telling you, friend, on the authority of the Word of God, that you died, and when Adam ate, Adam died, and that's a type of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, hallelujah, is life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Now, stay with me now. There are those who boldly insist that if God has eternally elected a certain man to be saved, that he will be saved no matter what he does or don't do. But this is not so, church. You know better than that. The Scripture says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen. And no man and no woman has ever made their way into God's family without believing the truth of the Word of God. Somebody said, what is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm going to tell you where you'll find truth, wrapped up in the bosom of the Lord Jesus. Everything that truth is embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Old Pilate looked him right in the eyes and didn't know what truth was. Looked truth right in the face and didn't know what it was. But a sinner's never been saved apart from believing the truth. Now look here. There are those on the other hand, and I'm trying to get to my thought. There is that other crowd on the other hand that says that a man can be saved but apostatize from the gospel and go away from God and be eternally lost. Back up just a minute. And their scriptures that they use and wrongfully use is verse number 6 and verse number 14, where they say that if we keep hold fast the confidence unto the end, or rejoiceth unto hope unto the end, we shall be saved. But I'm telling you, that's far from the truth. The Bible, my friend, is its own interpreter, and make no bones about it. The Bible said here that these people could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, somebody said, well, they had it, but they strayed. Hey, he also said in verse number 12 that they do always err. Everybody look right up here at me. That word always does not say always. The word always there means all the time. In other words, they never did know the truth. Amen. They never did walk a straight line. They do always err.
from the beginning unto the end. You check that crowd out, buddy, that came out of Egypt. I'm telling you, they dropped and murmured from the Red Sea all the way to Kadesh Barnea. They murmured, dropped, complained, cussed, converted, criticized Moses, doubted God, built golden calves, danced naked around golden calves and idols. Somebody said, what was their problem? They never knew God.
I hope I ain't blowed y'all out already. Verse number 10 said, they have not known my ways. They didn't know it and forget it. They didn't ever know it. I'll tell you, if you ever know it, you'll be like the psalmist. The psalmist said, I thought on my ways and turned unto God. And when I thought on God's ways, hallelujah, my feet were inclined unto Him. Woo! Thanks be unto God. That's right. Once I sat down and reasoned with Him and found out what I really was, just an old sinner, polluted in my own blood, amen, lost in a dunghill, dead in trespasses and sins, hallelujah to God, I realized if I'd come to Him, I could be quickened together and made alive in the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm trying to preach the gospel today, folks. And that's right, and I'm trying to help folks. Hey, they had an evil heart of unbelief, verse 12. They did always err in their way, verse 12. They have not known my ways, of verse 10. I'm telling you, that crowd was just lost. You don't ever convince me that once a sinner ever comes to Christ, that he'll ever be forsaken or forgotten by the Lord Jesus. Honey, I'm telling you, He's a good shepherd of the sheep. He guards His own. Hallelujah to God. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I'm confident that He which has started something in me will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. You don't tell me somebody that's got the very hairs of my head numbered can lose me? Paul lost another one. Wonder how many I lost last night. I don't know, but I can tell you somebody does know. God knows where He knows how many I lost and where they're at. He knows whether they're in the trap, in the tub, or where they're on down the drain. He knows where they're at. What a God! What a God! Well, that'll even go to the ground with a little old sparrow. What a God! That a sparrow cannot even fall to the ground without Him. What a God! Woo! He's some God. He's some God. Hey, I'm going to say it again. He's really some God. But hey, I'm going to say something even greater than God. He's some Lord. He is my Lord. Some Lord of you. Hey, but even more, He's my Savior. Hallelujah to God. He came to where I was and pulled me out. He's my Savior, my Deliverer. Oh, yeah. What a God. What a God. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. Aren't you glad of that? He loves. Woo! I'm about to get that tank religious today. Oh, yes. Now look. There is one danger here. And I imagine the shouting's going to stop. There's one danger and three exhortations. That's my message. Point one, the danger here is exposed. This crowd didn't make it. The last mile of the way, will you make it? They didn't make it. They didn't make it. They fell short. Their carcasses died in the wilderness. Where will your carcass die? Will it die in the wilderness or over yonder in Canaan's fair and happy land where our possessions lie? Will you make it to last? And by the way, everybody look right up here at me. If I know anything at all about the Word of God and about worldly events, we're headed down the last mile of the way. Amen. We're like a horse on the racetrack. I've done rounded the fire burn and I'm coming into the home stretch. Amen. Now, I know that sounds worldly, but that just come out. You have to forgive me for that. I'll never forget years ago when I used to watch television. Y'all forgive me for a minute, won't you? I used to watch that old Saturday afternoon baseball.
And I liked it. And more than just liking the ball, I liked Pee Wee Reese and Dizzy Dean. Amen. I'll never forget old Dizzy Dean at the close of every Saturday afternoon game of the week. Old Dizzy would say, "This is the old southpaw, partner, around in third and a heading for home. And son, I've done round in third and I'm a heading for home. I'm on the last mile of the way, and by the grace of God, I intend to cross the finish line." Hallelujah! Now, y'all smile about that. Last mile of the way, will you make it? That crowd of 20 years and under, over, didn't make it. How about you? Will you make it? Do you know what happened to them? I'm going to tell you what happened to them. The same thing I'm seeing happen in churches all over America in 1997-98 now. Hey, the danger, look here. In verse number 13, "But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin." I'm going to tell you what will keep you out of heaven, friend. Everybody look right up here. I'm going to tell you what will keep you out of the pearly gates of heaven. It'll be the hardening of the heart because of the deceitfulness that is in sin. Amen. This crowd, oh yeah. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what on earth, how on earth, does it keep our hearts softened?" Hey, if our hearts, our hearts will harden if we neglect the means of softening it. Now, that's not very deep. But it's a fact, if we neglect our Bible reading, our prayer, our worship, our witness, our fellowship, it'll cause any man's heart to grow hard. I got news for you, friend. You can take a piece of wax and set wax under the flame, and that wax under the warm fire of that flame will melt and turn into liquid, like the Lord said that His heart within Him had melted like wax, was poured out like water. Amen. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? You can put a hot enough fire on a piece of wax, and that wax will melt and just get real runny. But friend, you take the flame away from that wax, it'll harden right back up again. I don't care who you are. Hey, I'm just telling you, I'm a preaching what God give me. Hey, you can sit on that church pew, brother, and sit under the preaching of the Word of God, read your Bible, pray, witness. But when you get outside that, amen, I tell you, your heart will go hard and adamant towards God Almighty. Heard Rudy Smith a preaching this past week. He got to preaching on backsliders. And I don't even believe in the term. And I'm going to tell you, folks start laying out on Tuesday night, and I know some of you folks live far away and don't come, and I'm not throwing rocks at you. Start laying out on Tuesday nights, and laying out on Sunday nights, and missing prayer meetings and stuff. Hey, honey, you just asking for trouble. Amen. You just neglect. Hey, what did he say in chapter 2? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, buddy, and I'm going to say some things about this in just a minute now. Hey, to become hardened in heart is to become insensible to the claims of Christ so that they do not make their appropriate impressions on the mind which produce faith and obedience in the life of a person. Oh, yeah, you just start neglecting. You get so insensitive to God. Hey, that's why some of y'all, the only thing you can do when you come to church is sit and smile and coochie-coo the kids. You are so insensible to spiritual matters. Well, you know everything there are to know about a ball game or about hunting deer or about boating or about fishing or some of that mess. But I'm telling you, we have become so adamant in our hearts toward spiritual matters. And 1998, honey, it's a running rapid where men and women have grown hard because of the deceitfulness of sin. Went away from God, and I wonder, will they make the last mile away? I wonder if they really in. Let me ask you something. Are you really on the ship? Are you on the ark? Did you get on board? Is the ark a sailing? Are you inside of it today? Have you really truly been born again by the grace of God? Or are you a playing church? Well, I said, "Brother Hall, you're mean." Hey, you women ought to have been out here during Sunday school. I give a little illustration of what a shepherd is. Huh? Somebody said, "Well, I think my shepherd..." I had a woman back there in the back one day. She took her kid out of the Christian school here. And she said, I'm going to tell you right now, well, I'm taking my little girl out of the school. Said, I'm taking my little girl out of the school because I don't think no preacher ought to stand up there and holler at nobody. And said, my God, she said, some of the faces you make, the way you jump around and carry on, said, you just act like that you're mad at somebody. I said, ma'am, I am mad at the devil. She said, you scowl when you look. I said, amen, I'm mad at sin. I'm mad at the devil. Amen. Hey, I just read and quoted in the Sunday school lesson a man by the name of J.L. Porter. He eyewitnessed a bunch of shepherds coming out of the city with their sheep. He said they didn't look like shepherds according to the, or like pastors that we had known today, real peaceful and quiet and all that. He said they looked like more like warriors headed for the battlefield than they did shepherds. He said, amen. He said they had a long gun slung over their shoulder, had pistols in their belt, had an iron club in their hand, a knife in their belt, and said, bless the Lord. Said their scowling look proved to me that they was ready to use the weapons. I'm telling you, that's right. I'm ready to use them, buddy. I'm sick and tired of sin and the devil hardening the hearts of people, setting on the church, Jews lost, died, and going to hell, telling God, playing with the church, amen, knowing right well in their heart that they've never been born again, and man, if they die, they go to hell. How do you want to play with the things of God? That's right, ain't it? Amen. And then, we're to keep from that old heart of getting hard. We're to cleave fast to Christ, lest something else supplant Him in our affections. Do you hear what I just said? But if you don't hold fast to your Lord, mark her down, something else will fill up that place in your life. Hey, do you know why men go bass hunting fishing on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoons? I'm going to throw this out. I'm mad. I done got mad, boys. We just might as well spit nails the rest of the day because I'm madder than a junkyard dog anyway. If I wasn't saved, I'd cuss. Now, I'm telling you right. I walked in a place yesterday and looked on the wall and it said, Harlem Globetrotters. I said, well, I thought them old fellas had died by now. They must have resurrected them. I said, I guess they're going to be around here. Hey, that is as big as life. Harlem Globetrotters, Evansville, Indiana. When, Brother Hall? January the 18th, 1998. What's that got to do with us? That's Sunday, that's God's day. That's God's day. I'm telling you, and that auditorium will be filled up with independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning, bust-a-men, Baptists, sitting in there, polluting their mind on that garbage of the world, then come to church and claim to love God. Amen, Brother Hall. One point for you and none for the devil.
Amen.
You know what that crowd's done? They've done let something else fill up their affections for Christ. How can we not love Him that first loved us and gave Himself for us? How can we set our affections on worldly things when Canaan's bright and happy land is in sight? How can we set our affection upon worldly pleasures and sports and outside activities when we look upon the lovely face of the darling dying Son of God that loved us and gave Himself? Oh, I'm telling you, church, you hear me, man's flesh is sinful and wicked and ungodly, and if you don't fill up your heart on Christ and catch right and set your affection on Him and keep your heart filled up with the love of God, you will drift and wander and drift. Hey, some of you in here, I bet some of our faithful members, it's not telling how long it's been since you really sat down and read your Bible and prayed and meditated on God, got your heart filled up with God and got to bubbling over and the tears are running out your eyes. Amen. Hey, are you listening to what I'm saying? If you don't fill up your heart with the love of God, the devil and the world will see to it that they fill it up with something ungodly for you to entertain your thoughts with. Hey, that little thing I read in Sunday school about the shepherds, I was sitting there reading that, Brother George, yesterday afternoon or yesterday morning. I spent just virtually all day yesterday trying to study up until about 11 o'clock last night. And I was sitting there reading that excerpt, and God touched my funny bone. And I started giggling a little bit, Brother Jerry, and
few little tears, you know. He just kind of reached down in my old heart and began to squeeze my heart when I realized that the shepherd not only loves me, but he's a man of war to protect me.
Right.
Yes, sir. And boy, and I said, man, he loves me that much, just an old drunk. Ought to be in hell with my neck broke. Let me detour just for a minute. Me and Miss Hall went out, mate, the other night. We went down to Eddyville and let her shop, and I shopped more than she did, I think. And I walked into the store. Miss Hall was in there, and there's two women up there. And I said, lady, have y'all seen the most beautiful woman in all of the world? She's got black hair. And they said, yes, she's right over in that corner. I went over and said something to my wife, and them women, I heard them giggling or something. I turned around, and I said, hey, ladies. I said, God's been good to old Brother Hall. I said, man, I said, God spared me in Vietnam. Saved me by the grace of God. Sent me to pastor a church and be a man of God. And I said, God's been so good to me. I said, I ought to be in hell with my neck broke. And them women started going, yeah. They thought that was funny, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. Ought to be in hell with my neck broke. Amen. But I'm glad I got a shepherd. Now, I was reading about that little oak, about that shepherd, how he protects his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. And about that time, Miss Hall's got an old stuffed sheep about that big with a little old a bonnet on her head. About that time, she comes scooting that thing out of that claw, out of that back room, into where I was at a study, pushing that little old sheep along with her foot. And I thought unto God, that's exactly what the shepherd does to me when I lag behind. He just kind of gets behind me and shoves me along. Oh, aren't you glad this morning you got a shepherd that loves that you ever done so? Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir. Thank God. Thank God. Hey, to be hardened is to become careless, to become impenitent, refusing to repent, to become disobedient, and to become unbelieving. But notice what my text says, that they're hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Look right up here at me a minute. They're hardened in verse number 13 through the deceitfulness of sin. Hey, did you know that sin never wears its own dress? Let that soak in on you. Sin never adorns itself in its own apparel. Always tries to put on somebody else's clothes. Did you ever see that woman weighs about 900 pounds and tries to put on a size 6 skirt? It's exactly what sin does. Did you ever see that little boy tries to put on daddy's shoes? That's exactly what sin does. Hey, it's deceitful, folks. Never paints the right picture. Oh, you can drive down, and I'm not throwing off on nobody. You can drive down the parkway, and now they come out all this tobacco industry and come out and get cigarettes and drive down the parkway and them big signs. Try Winston, boys, America cigarette. We don't have any additives. If they didn't put anything in it but tobacco, it'd be bad enough. Smoke out of brand. Taste that beats the others. They're good. They're really good. Y'all get what I'm saying? Budweiser, boys, king of beers. Huh? You get what I'm saying? You see how it slips on another dress and looks so pretty? It's the secret. Hey, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever deceived them, he is not wise. I'm telling you, friends, sin will make a fool out of you.
Amen.
I feel like preaching all day. Man. I wonder how many young ladies crawled up in the back seat of an automobile and thought they was getting ready to have fun and crawled out without their virginity on the other side, and their head hung down between in their bosom, saddened in their heart and full of sorrow. Amen, because they knew it. It was built after me, wasn't it, girls? How about some of you men that enticed them? Oh, come on, baby. We'll get married. You ornery, dirty, sorry, rotten, low-down, dirty, honyak of a devil, you. Amen. I ever catch a man, a member of this church, putting his hand on a woman in this church that they ain't married to, I'd break your neck.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Somebody said, you ain't big enough. You ever heard the old statement, dynamite comes in small packages? Besides, that thing's a lethal weapon sitting back out and call on. Sorry, devils. That's how deceitful it is.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Oh, we just might as well get down where the rubber meets the road, buddy. Safe. You know what? Just be safe about it. Oh, yeah, be safe about it. But it don't show that little drawled up of a knot. His hair turned white, and his eyebrows turned white, and his skin looks like sandpaper, and his body used to weigh 190 pounds, weighs about 70 pounds, soaking wet. Somebody said, what's wrong with him? He's eat up with AIDS! Well, sin is a deceitful thing. And I'm going to tell you something about folk like that. Let's get harder and harder and harder. I've got a brother, I remember the day that I could talk to my brother and tears come up in his eyes. And he was a little tender and he was willing to sit and listen to the gospel. But I'm going to tell you something. You try to say something to him about the gospel now and about the love of God, he'll look you right quick in your eyes and say, why don't you mind your own business?
That's right.
Hardened. Yeah. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I've got news for you too, friend. That's not the only... Hey, sin like that's not the only thing that'll deceive you. Are you listening to me? Matthew 13:22 in the parable of the sower, a man can be become deceived through the deceitfulness of riches.
Yeah. Right.
Give me that money, man. Oh, it's deceiving. I'm telling you that like a bird, it'll take wings and fly away. Somebody said, oh no, I can get a lot of money and live happily ever after. You can have all the money and the gold and the wealth of this world, but I'm telling you, if you ain't got Christ in your heart, you're going to lose it all someday, friend. I'm scoring big with some of you this morning. I'm telling you, folks need, hey, it's a truth. The last mile of the way, will you make it? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, we're doing fine. Hey, it don't make a flip how you start the race. It's how you finish it. It counts. You might start out on slippery ground. You might get off to a bad start, but I'm going to tell you, you can finish up with a full head of speed. Huh? What about the deceitful lust? Talks about in Ephesians 4:12. I'm talking about the hardness. The hardness. Now I'm trying to get through the message, honestly am. But not only there do we see the danger that is exposed, but I see an exhortation. That's my text verse. But exhort one another daily. What an exhortation we find in the Scriptures. Hey, look here. Verse number 15. Are you following with me? While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That first exhortation is to hear His voice. And it's to be heard today. Today is a day of salvation. Now, today is the accepted time. Hey, sinner man! Sinner woman! Today, right now, not tomorrow, not an hour from now, right now is the day. Do you hear His voice? Harden not your heart. Oh, there's just something about the voice of Jesus. That'll soften and tender the heart of any man or woman. His voice is as sweet as a nightingale. Oh, His voice is like the canary that sang so beautifully and sweet. He didn't honk like some old crow. What a tender, wonderful voice. When He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, it's today, church. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the wilderness, when they tempted Me and proved Me and tried Me for 40 long years, of whom I was grieved with that crowd all of their life, and swearing My wrath, they shall not enter into My rest. The last mile of the way, will you make it? You hear His voice? John 5:25, there's a voice of salvation. He said there in that verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I'm talking about the dead in trespasses and sins shall hear the voice of the Son. Hey, you talking about a hard, adamant heart in that man that's dead in his sin. rebellious to, I'm a preacher. I know some of you don't like it, but I'm telling you, God told me to lay it on. I'm trying my best to lay it on hot and heavy. Amen. I'm telling you that a lost man is a dead man. Dead in trespasses and sins. But when he hears that sweet, wonderful voice of the shepherd. What about it back? Was it, what night was it on, Ricky? A Tuesday night? Huh? Tuesday night? Sitting right where he's at. Oh, Ricky Vincent heard that tender voice of the shepherd. An old heart that was hard like iron would not turn loose of the Kentucky Wildcats and the television. Look here, he liked to let a television set carry him into hell. You talking about hard and adamant, friend? You may not have to give up yours to get saved. I don't know, but he did his. Oh, yes. But he heard that still, small voice, and that old heart of iron was broken, and that old heart of ice was melted on the inside like water from just the sweet, wonderful tones that was uttered from the lips of the Lord Jesus. What did that crowd say about him that day when they went out to take him? They said, no man ever spake like this man. Oh, have you ever heard his voice? You have hardened not your heart. What an exhortation. Can you? I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Will you this morning? Would you follow him first of all to Calvary's brow? Then into the tomb, and then thank God on into the glory world. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear his voice? Heart, what an exhortation. Harden not your heart today if you'll hear his voice. Hey, he may not speak tomorrow. You may be like the bride in the book of the Song of Solomon and rise to open the door and find your beloved gone. Look here, what an exhortation. There's the voice of salvation. In Revelation 3:20, there's a voice of supplication. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in with him and sup with him. That's fellowship. And him with me. And get this, and I know I'm going to explain this because I know some of in Revelation 4:1, after this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. I labeled that the voice of salutation. Somebody said, Brother Hall, the salutation's at the beginning. You got the picture. Amen. Buddy, when that door opens in heaven, we've just begun to live. We've just begun to live, church. It just started. When we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. 10 million years, and we'll still be fresh and anew. When we've been there 10,000,000,000,000 years in the presence of God. Oh, the wonder of wonders. That he loved me and spoke to my heart and called me out of sin into the glory of grace wherein I stand. What a God, what a God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hear his voice. That's an exhortation. Yes. Then heed the example. What an example he gives us. Hey, they turned back. Right. These people turned back.
Amen.
But they turned back in their heart. They turned back in their heart. You can sit right on a pew of a church and turn back.
Right.
They turned back in their heart. They'd rather have the flesh pots. And then I wanted to get to this, and I'm not going to labor on it because my time's gone, and I was afraid I'd do this. But our Scripture text, but exhort one another daily. You see, there are some exhortations to hear His voice, to heed the example. But one of the greatest exhortations, church, that we could take advice to today is to help one another.
Right. Amen.
But exhort one another daily. Daily. Every day. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what does that mean? To exhort one another daily is to call attention to and to stir up one another for discharging of mutual duties. Stir up your neighbor. Hey, stir up the fellow sitting on the pew. You see a man that's down and out of it, put your arm around his neck.
If you see somebody that's about to faint and fall by the wayside, put your arm around them. Tell them that you love them.
Amen.
You know what Jesus said when he saw that crowd and they'd been fasting, I don't know, 3 or 4 days? He said, make them to sit down. We're going to feed them. And I'm trying to hurry along with this. He said, let them sit down. We're going to feed them. And one of the fellows said, hey, we don't have enough here to feed them. He said, how are you going to do that? And Jesus said, I can't send them away fasting. They'll faint by the way.
Amen.
Help one another.
Amen.
Help one another. Amen. Do you know in First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25 when it's talking about the body there, talking about all the members and the parts of the body and having no schism in the body, he said in verse number 25 there that you ought to take care one for another. He went on to say that when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one is honored, we all rejoice. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we can't do that today because one gets honored and God blesses one of the members in the church and somebody is bound to get puffed up and full of jealousy because of it. No wonder! May I say to you, and I'm going to say a little something about myself. It's no wonder that preachers all over America are getting discouraged and getting out of the ministry and quitting! I had a fellow to call me just a couple of days ago and he said, Brother Hall, he said, I'm thinking about resigning. I said, what, the church? He said, no, all of it! He said, I've pastored here. I said, hey, I love you. Keep on keeping on.
Amen.
But exhort one another daily.
Amen.
You can do that by caring for one another.
Right.
Now, I may just tarry here a while and talk to you, church. I'm telling you. Son, I'm saying we're concerned and care about everything else in the world except the well-being of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, when it comes time for one member in this church that's got a need to get something done, buddy, it's within our power to help and we don't do it, how dwelleth the love of God in us if we shut up our bowels of compassion towards somebody like that? I'm telling you, we're no wonder men and women are not making it the last mile of the way.
Amen.
Somebody gets a damn one, put a foot in her face. Well, I told that egg sucker. God help us.
Amen.
Care for one another. When one suffers, we all suffer. I like to see them little cards and things you ladies leave out there for one another. I mean that.
Yes, sir.
I'm not. Somebody said, well, that's just a little old flip-flop. Hey, look here. I'd been having a bad day on Saturday. Miss Hall kind of had a bad day. We both of us kind of had the bloopers. No, it wasn't. It was on Friday. And I came down here to the church to fill up that baptistry and try to get ready to baptize Gail this morning. Walked in, I looked back there, and there laid a little old card on the table with a zero and an Almond Joy candy bar on there. Said, Pastor and Mrs. Hall. I said, hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Sometimes just a little word, folks. But exhort one another daily.
Amen.
That's where I was trying to get to in my message this morning. Exhort one another daily. I tell you, we can make it the last mile of the way. Hey, if we all stay on the ship, we're going to make it the last mile of the way. Amen. Care for one another. In John 13:34, you know what he said? Love one another.
Amen.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another.
Right,
I'm going to say this to you. Love is a motivating thing. Love demands action. You men, don't you tell your wife, hey, don't you tell your wife you love her and then just say with your lips and never do. Took my wife out to eat on Thursday night, our anniversary. And look here, we got to the restaurant where we eat. I'd already called ahead and had a dozen pink roses laying on the table waiting for her when she got there. They even come over and sang, what was it they sang? Let me call you sweetheart. I give her a big kiss while there's a singing it. Somebody said, I don't like that. That's why, bless God, your marriage is like it is. I laid a kiss, just reached over, gave her a little kiss, and one of them folks that was singing said, whoo! There's a big table of folks sitting there eating, and we walked out, they was all just looking and smiling. And I said, hey, folks, I said, this is how you keep the honey in the honeymoon. They said, Are you hearing what I'm saying? You sorry devils. Love that little woman and show her you love her. Hey, don't you tell me you love your brothers and then don't do nothing about it. That's right. We're to love one another. Look here. That is the proof that we are a follower of Christ. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I prove that I'm a follower of Christ because I spoke in tongues. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Desire all these gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And it is to love one another. Son, that's what this church needs. It would bring revival. If we would get concerned about one another, it would bring revival. If we would do for one another, work for one another, help one another, stop one another, exact one another, love one another, pray for one another, admonish one another, it would bring revival. Said in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. You know why you can't confess your faults one another anymore? Somebody run outside and tell on you. They'll tell the whole church. They run through the whole church. Look here. I'm going to say this, and if you get offended about it, you can get offended about it. If something took place in the church, I was asked not to say a word about it, and I didn't. I ain't uttered a word about it yet. Not a word. For some folks that found out about it through the grapevine, just couldn't wait to ask me, well, what about this, and what about that, and what about this, and what about that? Can't keep nothing quiet. Can't keep your mouth shut. That is exactly why folks today cannot confess their faults one to another. They're scared to death that you will, or somebody will run out and broadcast everything they've been told. And I'm not your pope either. You're a priest. Hey. Then he said in that same scripture in James 5:16, pray one for another. Let's just pass out of an invisible chart right now. How many folks in Island Port Baptist Church pray for one another? Romans 15:14, he said, I believe you've got enough knowledge and goodness about you that you can admonish one another. You know what that word admonish means? Lightly reprove. Hey, fellas, look here. You know that Brother Hall don't agree. If a man wants to smoke, that's his own business. I don't agree with folks out in the parking lot smoking. I should never have to say a word to nobody out there. Somebody in this church ought to be able to walk out there and say, hey, our pastor, he don't mind you smoking, but do it up the road somewhere. Or if you see one of your brothers, men, that's involved in something that you know ain't right, admonish. That means lightly approve. Brother, I know it's your life, but I sure think you'd be better off to lay that aside. God bless you for that. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But exhort one another daily. Admonish one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, edify one another. First Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another.
Amen.
Mark 9:50, have peace one with another.
Right.
God help us.
Yes, sir.
God help us. Hey, I'll tell you, with those exhortations, hearing His voice, heeding His example, and helping hands from the people, we'll make it the last mile of the way. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. Endure, stays under it, for when he's tried, he'll receive a crown of life. How about you today? Are you going to make it the last mile of the way? Or will you be one of the casualties that's in the falling away? Let me ask you this. Are you saved to begin with? And if you are, will you make it the last mile of the way? Will you fall by the wayside? No. Hey, sin is deceitful.
Right.
I've seen folks sit on pews for years and claim to be saved and realize all of a sudden they just wasn't saved at all. What about it? The last mile of the way. Let's stand together.